O God, we are your people. So take our eyes and see through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our mouths and speak through them. Take our hearts and light them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. My friends, how are you at surrender? How do you do with the task of surrendering? I don't know if any of us do it very well. It's not something that comes easily to most human beings. But we here in the church have an example, a model, an icon of surrender, who is also radiant in strength. This is Mary, of course. Mary the God-bearer, Mary the mother. Next week we will listen once again to the children reenact the story of her delivery and hear of the angel Gabriel who comes to her and announces the pregnancy. Today we re-embody the words of her song, the Magnificat. Now think for a moment about that surprise visit of the angel Gabriel to the young girl in Nazareth. She did not ask for this. And there is nothing in the text to indicate at all that she wanted this at all, but she accepted it, and finally, she surrendered. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. In one sense, my friends, we can think of the incarnation of Christ into this world like a sudden alien invasion. No one asked for this. We can even look at the human baby Jesus as a divine Trojan horse. On the outside, it looks like a simple and ordinary child like so many others, but hidden on the inside, he brings the full light of divinity. John said it best, among you stands one whom you do not know. Like an alien invasion, like the spread of a powerful new virus against which we have no natural immunity at all those who touch or are touched by this harmless-looking child are infected with the life of God. But the world is truly not asking for transformation. Mary did not ask to be the Theotokos, the God-bearer. These things come to the world, came to her through the agency of another. It seems for me that every week brings another conversation with someone about cancer attacking their body or the body of a loved one. No one ever asks for that, ever. And so you know what most people do in the face of such an announcement, right? They fight. They fight with cancer with all of their strength, and they vow that they will never, ever give up that fight. Now, without question, resiliency is a key factor for all of those who will survive such things like cancer. But resiliency and fighting are not necessarily the same thing. I have also had survivors of cancer tell me that having cancer was, in fact, the best thing that ever happened to them. Over the past few days, I was at a conference in New Hampshire of the Episcopal Province of New England on faith formation. People were there from all six states throughout New England, and we learned about theories of faith formation in congregations and learning patterns within the parish. One of the participants there was a woman from Beverly, Massachusetts. We'll say that her name was Tanya. Over breakfast, Tanya explained to the folks gathered at the table that she had once been engaged to be married, but it was suddenly called off. Mark was her high school sweetheart. They were together since the age of 18. They eventually moved in together, and they became engaged with a wedding date that was planned 18 months out into the future. By that time, she was 26 years old. But about 9 months before the wedding date, on Christmas Eve itself, after returning from a holiday family gathering, Mark informed Tanya that he could not marry her after all. And can you believe it? That very night, on Christmas Eve itself, he walked out of their apartment and he never came back. Of course, Tanya fought that, and she tried as hard as she could to bring Mark back. And of course, it came out eventually that another woman was in the picture, another woman who made him more happy, whatever that might be. But as we all sat there at the breakfast table listening to her painful story, Tanya said to us in conclusion, "Truth be told, he gave me the greatest gift I could have imagined." It took Tanya quite some time to figure that out, but eventually she did, through prayer and reflection and discernment. Eventually she learned to surrender, to accept the gift of what is. Mary Oliver, that prolific poet and Episcopalian from Cape Cod, once wrote these words in a poem. "Someone I loved once gave me a box of darkness. It took me years to understand that this, too, was a gift." Do you know the words which we speak in our 8 o'clock liturgy when the offering of the gathered community is brought to the altar? Some of you might know those old words. Many of you perhaps do not. We say this in response: "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." All things, we say, not some things, not only pleasant and beautiful and lovely things, not churchy things, but all things come of thee, O Lord. It was the great late Alexander Schmemann, that great Russian Orthodox scholar, who expressed with profound insight that the first true definition of a human being is homo adorans, the human who worships. As he explained it, to be human is to be priest. Every human tribe and culture and language and people has understood this intuitively across the ages. To be human is to occupy a unique niche within the biosphere, to stand in the center of biologic life, to unify all things by the act of Eucharist, receiving all things from God as a gift of grace, offering all things back to God as a gift of love. Would you please pick up the prayer book that you find in front of you, hopefully in the chair back in front of you, the red Book of Common Prayer. Turn to page 307. Page 307 in the prayer book is a section titled Holy Baptism. Right in the center of that page, you will see a prayer called Consecration of the Chrism. We never use that in our baptisms here because our Bishop Steve consecrates all of the chrism once per year at a special liturgy called the Chrism Mass in Holy Week. And at the end of that, it is distributed to each parish to use throughout the year. On page 307, you'll see the rubrics, the directions, which state, "The bishop may then consecrate oil of chrism, placing a hand on the vessel of oil and saying..." And now will you pray the words of this prayer together with me? Eternal Father, whose blessed Son was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be the Savior and servant of all, we pray you to consecrate this oil, that those who are sealed with it may share in the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Share in the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ. That is your calling. That is your task as a human being brought into this world to be a priest to God. Truth be told, my title is not that of priest. I am a priest by virtue of my baptism, but only in the same way as all of you, and in fact, exactly like all of you. To be human is to be priest, standing with hands open and out, receiving all things as gift, offering all things back as love and praise. This, my friends, is the task of surrendering. Many of you know that we clergy have our own particular struggles with surrender, with the task of surrender during the season of Advent. Do we sing Christmas carols in the weeks leading up to Christmas Eve? Do we allow decorations in the church that remind us of the Christmas celebration? Do we fight the invasion of consumer marketing culture that compels us to skip right over the hard work of Advent and jump into the festivities right away? We do, of course, need to stand firm at times and maintain our own integrity. But I also know this. Anytime that I find myself saying, "It has to be this way," I know right then that I have missed the mark and strayed from the path. This, my friends, then, is the challenge and the gift of the gospel. We are called to surrender, like a priest who receives everything as a gift and offers all of it, all of life, back to God in love and praise. We are called to surrender, but we do not have to create that way. It is right here before us. Mary has paved the way. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. And she must have been a great teacher, for it was her son who, in his hour of bitter struggle, turned to the Creator of all and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And here is the best news of all. There is a strength arising from the act of surrender to God, which far, far surpasses the illusory strength of our own obstinate compulsions. Accept the gift of what is, O royal priesthood, and offer it all back to God with love and praise, for that is the path of life. Amen.